It is in 2 John, I believe. I want the scripture that says, all that is in the world. 1 John 2:14. I want verse 16 is what I want. That's the one I want at the moment. Verse 16. Hallelujah. For it says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Hallelujah. I suppose what we really need to do is to identify what is the world. Hallelujah. From a natural perspective as well as from a spiritual perspective. Hallelujah. And the best way that I know how to do that is to draw this diagram that you've probably seen 101,000 times. And it's called the tabernacle. Because one of the things that the tabernacle does is it brings a division between what is light and what is darkness. The first thing that we can understand about it is that all of this encompasses light. Huh? So if all of this encompasses light, what is out here?
Darkness.
Because now this is the world. Praise God. We have the world out here. Hallelujah. World. Now, what does the Bible say about the world in reference to God? I'm sorry?
It's not of him.
It's not of him? Is that what the Bible says? Can you find me a scripture that says that? All right, while she's working on that scripture, does someone else have a scripture that would define the relationship between the world and God? I'm sorry? I need a scripture. I need a scripture. You can find me the scripture. Hallelujah. Come on, kids. What you doing? Hallelujah. I need scripture. I'm not just needing theological concepts or memorizations of portions of the Bible. I want scriptures. Huh? What does the Bible say about loving the world? Is there a scripture that talks about loving the world? Huh?
It's in verse 15. Amen, love the world.
All right. Wait a minute. Where is it?
The verse above it. Verse 15.
All right. That was easy, wasn't it? 1 John. Hallelujah. 1 John. 2:15, right?
Yeah.
What does it say, please?
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Well, you just picked that one right out of my brain. Hallelujah. To love the world. Huh? What does that equal? According to that scripture. What does it say?
Love the Father is not in you.
Huh?
The love of the Father is not in you.
So you do not love, if you love the world, can we say you do not, you do not love the Father? Right? Hallelujah. Okay. I need some more scripture. Praise the Lord. Somebody give me another scripture in relationship to the world, in relationship to God.
John 15:19.
Psalms?
John 15:19.
Is that the Gospel of John?
Yes.
John 15?
Yes.
19?
Yes.
Would you please read it?
If he were of the world would love his own. But because we are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you.
Okay. Somebody can somebody put that into their own language? How would you interpret that scripture? How would you look at it? How would you define it? How would you define that scripture? Hello, are you there? Knock, knock. Who's there? How would you personally define that? Put it into your own words. How would you define it? You know, you're not afraid, are you? Hallelujah. It's very good to try to put the scripture in your own terminology. How would you define that? If you read that scripture to somebody and they say, well, what does that mean? How would you define it in the way that you speak, in the way that you relate to things? How would you define it?
If you were the world, they would all love you. But God chose you out, and you are God's chosen. So
that's
you are
good.
You are not, the world hated you.
That's very good. Yes, praise the Lord. That's very good. Somebody else? Okay, let me. How do we condense that? How do we synopsis that into... How do we synopsis that? You know what I mean? How do we condense it without going word for word? Yes? What are you doing way back there? Huh? You're way back there and I can't see you.
Okay. What was I going to say? The world hates you if you love Jesus.
Okay. The world hates you if you love Jesus. All right, can we say if you love Jesus? No. To love Jesus. I'm sorry? Yes. To say the world hates Christians, it's kind of a generic term. I want something a little more definitive. So if you love God, means the world will hate you. Is that right? Does it say hate?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. How do you define hate? How does the Bible define hate? Anybody know? Are you raising your hand?
Yeah.
So when you okay, what is what? How does the Bible define hate?
To kill someone in the heart.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
To kill someone in the heart.
Kill someone in the heart.
To murder someone.
That's right. What did Jesus say? If you hate your brother. What? You are guilty of murder. Hello? So it is not a matter of the world just disliking you. It's not a matter of the world just disliking you, don't like you, not able to abide by you, but there is a spirit of hate or murder that is working against you because you are a Christian who loves God. Praise the Lord. All right, are there some more scriptures that deal with the relationship between the world and God?
James.
I'm sorry?
Friendship with the world.
That's a good one. Where is it?
James 4.
James? That is a good one. James? 12?
4.
I was going to say James don't have 12. James 4?
Verse 4. That's
12. Verse 12?
4.
4?
Yeah.
Correct. We need another 4 there. That way you'd have fullness of tribulation. 4-4. four. That's good. That means tribulation. Twice. It is if you... Okay, what? Read the scripture, somebody. Somebody! Hello? Are you all going to sleep on me?
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with
God? Oh, that hurts.
God.
That hurts.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Are you sure it says enemy?
Yeah.
Enemy? Oh my goodness. Oh me, I need to repent. Friendship with the world. How do you define friendship?
Love.
Huh?
Love.
It's a love. How about the word compatibility? Do you understand the word compatibility? If you're compatible with something, it means that you are comfortable with it.
Association.
Now, you take oil and water, they are not compatible. Huh? But you take flour and water, they are compatible. They can be mixed up together, hallelujah, with no consequence, right? Hallelujah. Ah, boy, that is a very good verse, and it hurts. If you love the... And now, number one, we have to remember that James is not writing to the sinner man. James is not addressing the sinner man. James is addressing the church. James is addressing the church, Christians who are in the church, and he uses some terrible... Are they adverbs or are they adjectives? They're adjectives, right? What does he call them?
Nouns.
Are they nouns?
Yes.
Oh, that's even worse. Because a noun is a person, a place, or a thing. Hallelujah. What does he call? What does he call the love of the world? Who loves the world? Calls them adulterers. Oh, yes. Now, how can you as a Christian, if you love the world, be an adulterer? Huh? How can you be an adulterer? Because when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you were espoused to Jesus Christ to be a part of the bride company. Isn't that right? Am I quoting scripture right? Come on. Hallelujah. Do we not talk about the bride of Christ?
No.
So who is the bride of Christ? We who say or profess that we're born again Christians. So when you love things of the world, or the world that are the things that are of the world, and the world is in those things, you are working on committing adultery. Now it's not how you look at it; it's how God perceives it. Hallelujah! It is how God looks at it. It is how God assesses it. It's how God begins to analyze your position of relationship with Him. So if you have a Android phone or an iPad or an iPhone and you love it, Hallelujah. How much time do you spend on your iPod or your Android device? How much time do you spend on it? And what is it that you are doing with it? Huh? What are you doing with it? Are you reading about Jesus Christ? Are you investigating spiritual mysteries that are hid somehow in the Word? Is it edifying you to be a better Christian? Is it giving you greater information concerning your relationship with Jesus Christ? What is it doing for you? Oh, how about the games you play on it? Are those games spiritual games? Huh? What kind of games? And when you stay up till 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, or maybe even 1 o'clock in the morning, looking at that device and punching those keys, huh? Are you being edified? What are you doing? What's happening in that position of relationship with the world? Hallelujah. I want to tell you a little secret. The world, as James Ford describes it, is not passive. Exclamation point. Do you understand what I mean by not being passive? Huh? That there is a spirit that is in the world. There is a spirit that is in the world that the Bible describes as the prince of darkness. Hallelujah. And when you commune with the world, you are communing with a spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And that spirit is working to bring forth the manifestations of what James 4 describes. Now, it's important that those names, adulteress, what was another one? Huh? Adultery? Is that right? Adultery. Adulterer and adulteress is male and female. Hallelujah. So, male and female, regardless of gender, if you're involved with the world, there is a spirit of adultery that is working. What is another one? What is another name? What's another noun? Huh?
Enemy of the Lord.
Enemy. Ooh. Ah. Ah. Enemy. Enemy. E-M-E. How do you spell it? What? One person, I can't. In fact, somebody else come up here and spell it. Come, somebody. Come. All right, praise God. Enemy. Does anybody have a dictionary?
It means hostility.
Huh?
An enemy is hostile.
All right. Well, yes, hostile. I want a definitive answer. You know what I mean? It is an aggressive action against another individual. Or something of that nature. Does anybody got a dictionary?
Hatred.
Huh?
Hatred?
Well, I think that's part of James, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Word.
Huh?
Hated.
This is the description that the dictionary gives of enemy.
Mayor's dictionary.
All right.
Hated. Odious, hateful,
Hostile.
Hating and opposing another. Used of men as at enmity with God by their sin. One, opposing God in the mind. Two, a man that is hostile. Three, a certain enemy. Four, the hostile one. Five, the devil, who is the most bitter enemy of the divine government.
Oh my goodness.
Its origin is from a primary ecto to hate, hateful, passively,
Hallelujah.
Or odious, or actively
Hallelujah.
Hostile.
Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. We're talking about the world, the attributes of the world and the things of the world, and our participation with those things as God sees them, as the spirit that is behind them. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, if you as some Christian children or Christian young people or Christian adults, young adults, you gather around a table and you want to play a game. I don't believe there is anything wrong with that, except for in the aspect, if it is a competitive game, the attitude that you have in playing, or the attitude that it fosters as you are playing. And somebody is going to win and somebody is going to lose. Hallelujah. Now, winning and losing can be dealt with by in a spirit of righteousness, but it can also be dealt with by a spirit that is out of context with righteousness. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is not so much the game in itself that is it is bad, it is the aspect of what it produces in you, whether you win or lose. Huh? Some people get very depressed when they lose. Some people get very gloatful when they win. Aha! I beat you! Aha! Huh? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And you know, sometimes playing certain games can be somewhat humiliating. Huh? You know what I mean? Because, you know, like the game Scrabble. I won't play Scrabble because I can't spell. Every time I put a word in, it goes, eh. That's not a word. So it's very humiliating, you understand? And I can't play the game. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in some instances, some game. Now, other games are just games you just don't play because they're not fun games. Their intent is not to bring fun and pleasure, like poker. You can't play poker, huh, with the right heart. It's not a fun game. Hallelujah. So there is an assessment that has to be made concerning all of this. However, I want to get back. We are defining what is in the world, what is of the world, and what it is as an active agent in our position of relationship with God. All right, an enemy. Now remember, these are nouns. So it means that it is an active agent that is working contrary to someone else. Huh? So when I begin to partake of the world, hallelujah, I am working with an energy of a higher dimension that is in opposition to God, that desires to destroy God and wants to make me a part of that destruction. He wants to utilize what and who I am as an implement of warfare. Hello? Knock, knock, are you there?
Yes.
Huh? You know, we sing a song. We are God. We are God. Adonai. We are God.
We are God.
Adonai. Then what are we doing? Of darkness, lifting the banner of Yeshua high, high, high. You are God, battle axe,
redeeming the souls of men, presenting
every man what?
Perfect in Christ.
Perfect in Christ. So you can be a tool in the hand of righteousness for the sake of righteousness. But what if that battle axe is in the hand of another entity, another personality who hates God? Huh? Now how do you switch sides? Huh? How do you go from being a battle axe of God? And we're talking about an enemy or a friend of God. How do you go from being an enemy of God to a friend of God? Well, let's say that you get in an argument with someone, and that argument goes out of control. You didn't mean for it to go out of control, but somehow it went out of control. One person got angry, then the other person got angry back, and things were said, hallelujah, and hurt between sisters, between sisters and brothers, between brothers and brothers, between children and parents, parents and children, between friends. Hello? Hallelujah. It wasn't just that you had an argument. Somebody got hurt. And that hurt was not intended by you, but the spirit behind the hurt wanted to destroy you as well as the individual that you are in confrontation with. Hello? Hallelujah. So, to be friends, this is all contingent on being friends with the world, isn't it? Friendship with the world is what? Intimacy. What? Okay, that word. it's something that is aggressive. It's not passive. It's not just something that happened. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Not really. Well, that's not enough sometimes. What is another word that is used here? Friendship with the world. What is another noun that used? I think it says hatred, isn't it? Huh? I didn't hear.
Antagonist.
I want the scriptural James 4.
Adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Enmity?
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Okay, enemy of God. Adulterous. I think the word hatred came in here in enemy, didn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Hatred. Hallelujah. So this is the attributes, some of the attributes of the world. Now there is a description in Galatians that describe the fruit of the world. I think it's in Galatians, isn't it?
Yes.
Galatians 5?
Yes.
All right, 5 what? What is it? Don't you got Bibles, ladies? Galatians 5, where is it?
19.
Huh?
19.
Okay. What is some of the fruit that Galatians 19 says?
Adultery.
Huh?
Adultery.
Oh, is it really say adultery?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Here we have that word again.
Adultery.
To adulterers. All right.
Unfornication.
What's that?
Fornication.
Oh, that's a big word. Somebody come and spell it. Right there, number three. Oh, hallelujah. If I'm not mistaken, this word fornication is the word porneia.
Yes.
Mark, how do you spell porneia?
P-O-R-N-E-A.
N-E-A?
Yes.
N-E-I-A. Alright.
Oh,
P-O
R-N
R-N
E-I-A
E-I-A. Now, pornea, does not just include physical fornication. It includes all of the attributes of that type of activity. This is pornographic pictures, pornographic stories, all the things that go in that arena. Praise the Lord.
It also includes idolatry.
It also includes idolatry.
Includes homosexuality as well.
I think it's T-R-I, right? Idolatry?
T-R-Y.
Yeah. Hallelujah. How can idolatry be in pornea? It's called self-love. Huh? Self-love. Or love of self. Holly, what's another one? What's another fruit? Hallelujah. What? Hallelujah. Isn't this fun?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it's so much fun if it makes you feel bad. That's good, because then you have to repent. Uncleanness. Hallelujah. You know, what does the Bible... The Bible has a very descriptive term in Revelation. It calls our clothing what? Filthy? Filthy rags.
Self-righteousness.
Huh? F-I-L-T-H, right? Is that right?
Yes.
Filthy rags. Uncleanness. Hallelujah. If you were sitting down to a table with somebody and they had not washed their hair for a long time, they had not changed their clothes in a long time, and they invited you to dinner, they're very dirty. You walk into the house, there's dirty dishes everywhere, sinks piled up. Well, I hope I'm not describing somebody's kitchen. Food is sitting out on the counter, on the table. There's dogs and cats running around in the house. Huh? Hallelujah. and they invited you to dinner. Oh, won't you come in and have some cake with me? You say, oh sure, I'll be glad to. Huh? Hallelujah. Yeah, no. You probably make up something. Well, I have to be somewhere very important. Yeah, I'm fasting. Oh, that's a good one. We'll get religious about it. Hallelujah. Uncleanness. When they talk about, we're talking about the fruit, huh? We're talking about the fruit of the world. We're talking about that, those activities of the world that we are involved in. They are not passive children. They're not passive. They are not passive. They are working continually on your mind. They're working continually on your emotions. And they are degrading you. They are bringing you down, 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 down. And you know what happens when you go down? Let me tell you what happens when you go down. All right. Up here. Huh? Up here is right. Huh? That's what's right. Down here, this is what's wrong. Huh? We could just as well say this is light and this is darkness. Hallelujah. And it's very definitive. We know that this is darkness and this is light. Hello? But if I'm involved in the world, if I'm in doing, you know, all of the things that are the fruit, partaking of what is the fruit of the world, my right becomes a little less light. Huh? So the standard from here to here, the bar is lowered. What I was determined I cannot do, and I found myself doing it. I have compromised. Hallelujah. And the problem is, the progression gets a little more aggressive and becomes more and more predominant as I am partaking of what I do not consider so absolutely dangerous. And the bar, once again, is lowered and the color becomes less definable. Hallelujah. Until I wind up in this position, where wrong becomes right. And you know, you see it in the you see it in the world around you. You see it in the news. If you watch TV, you see it on TV. If you walk out in the world, you see it in the world. Hello? Hallelujah. The world, both male and female, are coming to the conclusion that the wearing of less clothing is right. Hallelujah. When I was a boy, you would not find as many women today, or men, that is, who walk around almost naked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, it's no big thing. It's no big thing. It's no big thing. Why? Because the bar is being lowered. Because the world is becoming more aggressive. The world is becoming more prominent. And the world is becoming the epitome of what is right. Hello? Hallelujah. And if you and I are partaking of the fruit of this world, not in the sense of it in its full-blown stage. Hello? When I make a commitment to Jesus Christ, and I say to Jesus, I am going with you all the way. How many of you have been baptized? Huh? So when you were baptized, you said, I will go with you all the way. I am being buried with you in baptism, which means I am now going to be dead to the world. And the first thing the world comes around to do says, you're really not dead. And he dangles something in front of you like you would dangle a carrot in front of a horse. Hallelujah. And you... And the carrot is always moving. Hello? Because the devil is a liar.
Right.
He's a liar. He's a liar. He is a liar. The devil cannot, will not do good because he is a thief, a robber, and a destroyer.
That's right.
Hallelujah. He will promise you the world and give you nothing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Uncleanness. What's the next one?
Lasciviousness.
What? Well, come here. Hallelujah. God is defining the word for us. And you know, we as parents are grown-ups and adults. We're as guilty as some of you young people. In that we are in love with something that is in the world that is contrary to the righteousness that God wants us to possess. Lasciviousness. Hallelujah. Now somebody is going to have to define that word for me.
Unbridled lust.
Oh, wow.
Excess. Excess.
Yeah.
Licentiousness.
Hallelujah.
Wantonness. Outrageousness. Shamelessness. Insolence.
Oh my goodness.
And it's a noun.
Huh?
It's a noun.
It's a noun. Have any of you ever sat down to a table to eat your favorite meal? Huh? Have you ever sat down to a table to eat your favorite meal?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just tell on myself. I don't know what your story is. But you put on my plate, you know I'm a breakfast person. I like breakfast. And I say, you give me a good breakfast and I can go all day. That's just an excuse, by the way. Because I never am able to go all day. Hallelujah. But you give me a breakfast and you make eggs over easy. You make grits. You get a steak on there. And you have some very good fried potatoes in some form or fashion, and you have biscuits and gravy. Hallelujah! All of which is my favorite food. Now, I don't know. It's very difficult to choose one and leave the other. Huh? isn't it? I don't know about you. So I'll say, I'll just take a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. And I keep taking a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. And finally, at the end of that, I say, I ate too much. I just initiated lasciviousness. I invoked the spirit of lasciviousness. Hello! Hallelujah! Some people are crazy about exercising. They exercise in the morning, they exercise in the afternoon, they exercise in the evening, they get up in the night and go and exercise. And they're either walking or running all the time. Hello? The only time you see them is when they're running down the streets. I'm just using these things as examples. I don't know if anybody participates in those things. Hallelujah. They seem innocent, but they're overboard. The Bible says that we must be moderate in something. It says we must be moderate. All things. Some people are workaholics. They just love to work. Work. Well, I'm providing for my family. I'm making a way for my children. I'm providing this, and I'm setting a good example, and I'm putting everybody who's worked for me, I'm helping them make a living. Hello? Hallelujah. Moderate. These are nouns. That means there are personal entities that are working to produce a nature that is contrary to God. Hallelujah. You know, the one thing I liked about my work was in carpentry is that it was seemingly to me simple for one thing. And the other thing was I couldn't work in the dark. They fixed that now. They got these big floodlights you can turn on and you can work all night. But in my time, that wasn't the case. When it got dark, you picked up your tools and you went home. Hallelujah. And when you went home, the building stayed there. I couldn't hook it to the car and bring it home with me. Hello? Hello? Hallelujah. And you know, it's like that in the activities that we are involved in the natural arena. Hallelujah. All right, what's the next one?
Idolatry.
Well, okay. This one is connected with this one. What does the Bible say about idolatry? Idolatry. Is it I-T-R-Y?
A-T-R-Y.
Huh?
A-T-R-Y.
I'm sorry?
A-T-R-Y.
A-T-R-Y. Oh, really?
Okay. The worship of false gods.
Worship of false... Oh, that's good. False gods.
The formal sacrificial feats held in honor of false gods.
Oh, yes, the sacrificial feats.
of avarice as a worship of mammon, meaning money.
Money.
In the plural, the vices springing from idolatry are peculiar to it.
I want to bring it a little closer to home. I want to make it a little more practically understood. What does the Bible say that idolatry is? Yes, it's an abomination, but it says something else about it. It tells you what it is. Huh? Come, no, these are kids. I'm looking at the kids here. When I call back up, that's when you can cut in.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it the sin of witchcraft?
Yes. Come up there and write that on the board, please.
Johanna. No, read 1 Samuel 15:23.
All right. Come up. Take care of it.
She's got to read the verse, 1 Samuel.
Yeah, she's got to read it, but I want it written also.
It's incorrect.
It's rebellion.
Yes. 1 Samuel 3:15?
No, 15.
15:23.
Okay. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
Stubbornness! Woo. Is anybody here stubborn? Huh? You're stubborn? You seem to be pleased with it. Hallelujah. Anybody else here stubborn? So you all have to repent.
Yes.
Stubbornness. That one doesn't look very black. We want it really black. So stubbornness is an individual characteristic of everybody in this room. Are you stubborn?
I thought this was just a
Hallelujah. It's not just an attribute that you can be proud of or pleased with because you get your way.
Hallelujah.
You have just worked witchcraft. Anytime you are stubborn and you get your way because of that stubbornness, you have just worked, isn't it, witchcraft, right? Stubbornness is as idolatry. It's as idolatry. You have exalted yourself above the situation. You are the preeminent thing, and everything else must bow down to you. You just pushed God off the pedestal and took a place there with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Idolatry is as the sin of stubbornness, right?
Stubbornness.
Have I got it right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about the love of the world. All things, what's it say? John, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of these attributes are things that are working in the arena of our soul. Hallelujah. What now? How many more are there? My goodness. Huh? Huh?
A lot. 12.
12. Oh, 12. Does anybody know what 12 stands for? Huh? Government? Yes. Huh? So we're looking at not only the fruit of the world, but we're looking at the government of hell. Hello? Hallelujah. What time is it, by the way? Somebody got a watch?
Almost 9.
Oh my goodness. Government of the world. Alright. I want to go to Romans. I want to go to Romans 6:16. Romans 6:16. Hallelujah. A government is a body that rules by authority over something. Right? Hallelujah. So whenever we submit or we participate and we partake of the fruit or we move in our friendship with that world entity, we are coming to a position or a place of acquiescence to an authority. Who's got Romans 6:16? All right, you read it, dear.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?
All right. Somebody else. I want to make sure that's what it says. Read it in your Bible. What does it say?
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey?
You need to speak louder.
Can you read it? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants?
All right, stop right there. To whom you yield
servants. Yourself. Servants.
Who's yourself? Huh?
My soul.
Huh? Who's yourself? All right. If you yield yourself, okay, to whom you yield yourself, servants to obey, go ahead.
His servants ye are to whom ye obey.
You are the servant to whom you obey. So, if a situation rises up and you invoke the environment or the attitude of being stubborn, what are you doing? I'm sorry? It's more than just disobeying. You're refusing to do what you are told to do, but you are obeying that which you are told in not doing what you're told to do. Did you get that?
Romans 6:16, you're not following.
No, you didn't get that? If you disobey, you are obeying the word of disobedience in the act that you are not obeying what you were told to do. Now, did you understand that? Huh? Did you? No? Hallelujah. When I tell you, all right, Esther, you go over here and write on the board, and you say, no, I am not going to write on the board. There are two authorities that have been invoked. The authority that I am speaking to you concerning the writing on the board, and the authority that is telling you, no, you're not going to do it. And if you don't do it, what are you doing? You're obeying the negative authority. Right? And when you obey the negative authority, you are in the process of committing
idolatry.
You are working on one of the fruits of the world, and you are coming under the government of hell. Hello? All right. Let's get on with this. Seven.
Witchcraft.
All right. What did the Bible just say about witchcraft?
Rebellion.
Huh? We just read it.
Rebellion.
Do any of you need that word described? What is witchcraft? Somebody describe to me what witchcraft is. Huh? That's not enough. Tell me, what is witchcraft?
Magic.
Yes. Where you're working with the devil to produce and to do the devil's work. Is that what you're saying? Amen. You are actively working with the devil. Now, children, young people, sorry. No one has to tell you you're rebelling. In any given situation, nobody has to tell you that you are rebelling. You instinctively know when you are rebelling. You know it. You're conscious of the rebellion. Hello? I do not know that you are conscious of what it is you are participating in, but you will no longer be ignorant of it after tonight. You are involved in witchcraft. The next one.
Hatred.
Huh?
Hatred.
Hatred?
Yes.
Well, we have talked about hatred. But have you ever said to somebody or thought, I don't like that person? Have you ever thought that?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever said, I really can't stand them? Have you ever said, oh, they are so irritating? Have you ever thought, oh, how frustrating? Huh? Those are all the forms of hatred. They're minor little shoots off of the root of hatred. Huh? And when you say in your mind, I don't like somebody, that's a little bit a step up from, oh, they are so irritating, they are so frustrating, they are so this, they are so that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So hatred is part of the government of the world. Number 9. What's number 9?
Variance.
Variant. Or
contention.
Huh?
Contention.
Strife. Wrangling. Contention, strife, or wrangling.
Contention, strife, or wrangling. Could you just say argument?
Quarreling.
Those are words we understand, right? Now, at least those are words I understand.
Yeah, debating.
Debating? Ooh, wow. Anybody on the debate team? Hallelujah. Variant. How do you spell variant?
V-A-R-I-A-N-C-E.
I just say argue. A. I just put contention. Hallelujah. Number 10.
Emulation.
Huh?
Emulation.
Emulation. Ooh, well, what does that mean, huh? Huh? What is emulation?
Embracing, pursuing, defending anything.
Oh, wow.
Feel in behalf of or a person or a thing. Here's the real negative part. The fierceness of indignation or punitive zeal.
Punitive zeal. Like I'm going to thump on you, you know. An envious and contentious rivalry.
Oh.
Jealousy.
What if I just say it's the defense of darkness? Huh? What can we not say it's just defending? We are an advocate for darkness? Huh? Because you are fighting for it in one sense of the word. Have you ever got in an argument, you got caught red-handed doing something you know you wasn't supposed to do, and you're arguing about the fact that the reason you did it gave you the right to do it? Huh? You ever had that occasion? Huh? Have you ever had that occasion? Huh? That's emulation, I think. Isn't it right? It's the defense of darkness. You know you're wrong, but you're defending your wrongness. All right, number 11.
Wrath.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm not going to really go into that one. I think it's pretty much self-explanatory. Wrath. That's unbridled anger. Wrath is unbridled anger. You go from angry to wrath.
Fierceness.
Huh?
Fierce.
Well, I don't think that really describes it. It's really kind of like unabridged hatred. All right, number 12. What?
Strife.
Strife? All right. Well, some of these interlock. Hallelujah. But what we are talking about is the world. The Bible says that we are to, what does it say? We, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So I think we've done a pretty good job tonight of defining the attributes and the characteristics of darkness that are governed by all of these 12 aspects or attributes that we will become at the end of the day.
There's five more.
Oh, you're five more. Why? I think I'll be repenting all night. Well, I think I'm going to stop at 12. I think you get the idea, right? I hope it makes a difference. I really hope it makes a difference. Hallelujah. Because God is really revealing to us the attributes of the world. Now, there are other things that go into this, but we're not going to be able to touch them at all tonight, so praise God. I trust if not anything else, it is at least informative. God bless you. God bless you.
Could we at least finish reading the verses?
Yes, you may. Somebody may do that.
Could one of the young people read verse 21 anywhere?
Someone read verse 21.
Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. I think that says it all in itself, right? Amen. Is there any questions? Thoughts? Input? Output? All right. That means you understand it completely. Praise God.